unfortunately a member of an oddball religion. You remember Oral Roberts?
Oh, how can one forget the man that God was going to call back unless he won the series?
Well, Oral is a member of that same religion.
No, the...
Yeah,
the,
well, anyone that's named
the
Oral.
The Oral Christian.
It's a kind of dental kind of Christian thing.
It's a word-of-mouth Christianity, isn't
Absolutely.
It? Really, Oral.
Right.
And oral hygiene, the clean ones. Mm-hmm. So Oral, for religious purposes, can't join.
It won't.
Well, there's Jay Howell, of course. He's a good closer. We need a closer.
Yeah, but I don't think that that's going to help the Democrats at all. I mean, the news we just heard from our correspondent on the East Coast is, I think, a little scary, because if she didn't actually go out and check those people, they were probably out registering for Bush.
I think so. They're definitely standing in line for Bush, because they're an off... That's the silent majority that Richard Nixon spoke about, the people who wait until the very last minute to register, mm-hmm. and then go home again and aren't seen.
No.
And watch reruns.
Well, they're...
And then vote late.
If you're not a Republican, you don't watch reruns.
No, no, no.
There's nothing a Republican likes better than a nice old Charlie's Angels.
Oh, Charlie's Angels. And just imagine, the young Republicans today will be the ones watching reruns of Jump Street 20 years from now.
Yeah.
I remember the schools when everybody was a cop and a crack dealer. Those were the days,
yeah,
Sonny.
America was America. And before we had Casey Kasem for president. See, that's the thing that's just going to kill them all, the poor Republicans. The fact that Casey Kasem is going to get elected president, and then, like, every speech, Dukakis will have to start with saying, like, a significant historical fact about what, right? Well, in 1948, during the Treaty of Geneva, and a time when the hit record at the time was...
And let's listen to it.
Lolly Guggen by Gogi Grant.
Yeah, let's listen to it.
Let's play 30 seconds of Lolly Guggen by Gogi Grant before I launch into a major... statement of policy.
The Casey Kasem approach, right. As I come here to Geneva, it reminds me that there's someone sitting in this audience tonight who only 20 years ago was a member of a group that later went. Yes, I know. I mean, well, trivia. You're quite true. The whole idea of
using... It's a trivial time, isn't it? I mean, don't you think that the issues are trivial? The issues have to do entirely with the fact that one of these guys, in fact, each of them hates the other one.
There's no doubt about the fact that when they shake hands, I expect to hear one of those buzzers going off we used to buy in the novelty stores.
Yeah.
They do hate each other, and I think their wives hate each other, too, and I think they each hate the other person's wife.
I would guess that that's
probably
true.
No,
and if it isn't true, it should be true, because this is a hard-fought election.
Well, a newspaper article today says that Nancy Reagan also hates George Bush, but denies it. It says, Nancy Reagan, cool to Bush, but denies it.
Great.
Well, how could she not hate George Bush? He's the antithesis of Ronnie. He's not a fast study. He doesn't have a particularly good television warmth. You know what I mean?
Oh, not particularly, no, but, you know, you never know. It's, on a hot television, he probably looks pretty good.
He's got a voice. It sounds a little bit like there's a pickle in his throat, but that's not enough to make him lose the election.
On the other hand, he has the advantage of having been a spy, having been an international criminal, having cheated the American public, all the things that turn him into what we call a rascal. Everybody loves a rascal.
Yeah, right. You're talking about what, the guy at Shearson? Oh, you're talking about Bush.
Same guy.
Oh, right.
It's the same. Michael Milken is only Bush with a really nice bush on his head, with a really nice squirrel.
Well, I don't want to give the impression that I'm just entirely for Dukakis
because
of matters of politics. I mean, I think maybe that there could be another side to Bush. Is there another side to Bush?
Well, if you turn him around...
Or do you just turn him...
You turn him sideways, he disappears. You turn him around, you see... Yeah.
Oh, but there is another side beyond
there's
that.
There's a face on both sides, right.
Good. Well, I'll start looking for that pretty soon. Because I would like to, if Bush is going to be... And my wife tends to say every day, since for the last 2 months, every day she wakes up and says, oh, my God... Bush is going to win.
Well, that's the only way she can get out of bed. Right?
Yeah, and I'm beginning to now finally take it a little seriously, and I'm begun to think, well, if Bush does win, what in the name of whatever it is that he and Barbara worship are we going to do? It's going to be horrifying. I mean, at least with Reagan, there was an actor. There was a man that could get up and read jingles in the morning or do funny voices or something like that. But now we are dealing with an entirely unhumorous president. The man has zero sense of humor.
We're talking about zero sense of humor. His idea of a good joke is flying another torpedo mission. That's a good idea.
His idea of a good joke is marrying Barbara.
Barbara George. Well, he loved the song, man. He couldn't get that song out of his head when he lay there in the Coral Sea after being shot down, after he thought about separation of church and state. Remember? Mm-hmm. Then he thought about, I know, you don't want me no more.
Well, the 1,000 points of light came to him. And for years, you know, he just thought Barbara was sick. He thought that she was pale.
No.
But...
Not so.
He's finally had the face facts, and it's made him even less humorous than he was before.
Well, it's one thing to have a president of the United States, like Ronald Reagan, who isn't the president of the United States. There's a certain advantage to that, who's being run by a bunch of cruel, heartless, proto-fascists.
Yes, but he's an actor, for God's sake. You don't want an actor to not do what he's told. It would go against the whole grain of acting.
Yes, it would. But it's worse when the heartless, cruel neo-fascists then become president.
Yes.
Because then we have to become the actors.
The man behind the neo-fascist, a man that we, a kind of fascist we don't even have a name for. It's so new.
So new. New, it's so packaged, it's new, it's new, it's new. It's not Hitler, it's not Goebbels, it's not Franco, it's not Mussolini. It's not even Gerald L.K. Smith. It's the new Bush fascism.
Bush kind of a thing, yeah.
It's that kind of like...
It's a gentle kind of happy kind of laid-back kind of fascism.
Yeah.
The kind it's a gentler kind of fascism.
It's kind of a middle-of-the-road, kind of a KNX type of fascism.
Right, yeah.
You know, it's like...
Kind of limp rock.
Yeah, kind of it's those songs that people sing around, you know, down the road and you see the farmer just trying to get by. Not that we care about him, right?
No.
We're going to bury him tomorrow. He's kind of get by and I look at the smokestacks and they're clouding the sky and I say, oh, babe, we've got to make it. Let's sit down, have a beer. One of those kind of like... marketing fascists.
Yeah, the chorus of that song has something to do with let's just film this for a television commercial.
Yeah.
That's what these images of pain are really, really good for. Images of the poor are very good for selling things.
Well, images of the poor are particularly good for selling Levi's and beer.
Oh, yeah, which the poor no longer can afford, by the way.
Of course. How can the poor afford $80 cotton pants anymore?
And $80 for a beer, you know, they go right along with each other.
Because it's a specialty beer. Because it's a small beer. It's a beer that hasn't been filtered. It's a beer that's it hasn't even been made. It isn't even beer, it's water.
Are you talking about Hitler beer?
Well, I'm an act. You know, I'm an actor, and therefore I'll do anything for money and say anything for bucks, but I'm not a Nazi.
Oh.
But when it comes to beer,
yeah.
I go Hitler.
Oh.
Hitler beer.
Love that stuff.
And you know, Heil means light in German, so I'm for a Hitler Heil, so Heil Hitler.
Great.
Yes, it's one of those Nazi beers.
We're beginning to sound a little bit more, as we begin to talk here, like a regular radio station. I was tuning across the dial trying to find this station, and everybody else got, as we said, helicopters, and multiple people in the newsroom. And
car ads.
And the kind of morning zoo kind of feeling.
Hey.
At least 50 or 60 guys on the air all talking at once.
And their names are getting closer to Baldy and Bunny Eyes. I mean, hi, it's Baldy and Bunny Eyes, and it's 7:38. We got somebody calling from Boston Harbor. Hi, and they've taken away the freeway. It's one of those. And now let's hear something from Hitler Beer. Hi, Hitler, it's a light beer. I don't care. Oh, it's true. It's true. And the other part, the other thing that scares me about the Bush years, if they come, and I'm not encouraging anybody to think that Bush is going to win. I had a friend who called up and said, I don't like any of them. I'm not going to vote. I sent out the police immediately to register her.
Yeah.
Is that lottery is going to take over. We are going to have government by lottery.
Yeah, but, you know, if that happens, it'll be very typical that from week to week, see, they will have to split the presidency, for instance. On the week when the big spin gets Mrs. J.K. Gonzalez of El Cerrito to be president, she'll have to split that presidency with some retiree
from
El Monte.
A retired toxic waste swallower from El Monte who then Quayle and Bush will be able to step aside and spend some time in their restricted real estate deals. You know, that they found out that George Bush, the lot for his retirement in Houston. Anybody that chooses Houston to retire in is suspect immediately.
Absolutely.
Is that there's a protective covenant against selling the property after he dies to, I love this, Hebrews, Syrians, Armenians, Negroes, and other non-Caucasians. It's the Syrians. And Hebrews, which when you say Hebrews, then you go right back to the Old Testament. I'm surprised that they weren't worried about Phoenicians and Assyrians. No, Syrians. Assyrians are fine.
Many of my Hebrew friends are going to be pleased to learn that they are no longer Caucasians. Most of them have been ashamed of being Caucasians for most of their adult lives.
No, now they are outside the Caucasian chalked circle.
Right.
So they are now ready to become minorities, which means we can all go to school together.
Reverend Jackson, my name is Jaime Finkelstein, and I'd like to come over for dinner.
Yeah. It's about time. It's just about time.
It's about. It is about time. It is time. It is about time.
Reverend Jackson, where have you been, by the way? That's another one of these quizzes in the Dukakis-Bush campaign, which is, whoa, where's Jesse?
Oh, that's good, yeah.
Well, where is he?
Where is Jesse?
Well, he spoke to a
He's on the radio.
He's on the radio?
Well, that's what they announced just about the time he disappeared. You can always tell when a man's going to disappear, he's got a radio show.
Did Jesse get...
I'm going to be on the radio in key markets, he said. Well, that means that he's on one of these morning zoo programs, and he's just buried. He's just over some freeway somewhere.
Somebody there, there's Baldy and Bunny Eyes are just killing him.
This is Reverend Jackson, over, the most gorgeous, free way.
Whatever happened to him, and he got buried. I asked a couple of my conspiratorial friends. One person says that the Dukakis campaign made him go quiet. They said he was a liability and that they've buried him.
I don't think the Duke would bury anybody. Unless, of course, you had dropped below 50, say, on the Billboard charts over a period of 5 years. But if you have enough number one or close to number one hits the way the Reverend Jackson has, the Duke is going to have you on a little 4x5 file card, and you're going to come up once or twice every show.
Once or twice every show. So, I mean, we're going to have mornings with the Duke, we're going to have afternoons with the Bush, and Reagan is going to run one of those B-29 old music, the way things used to be shows.
Oh, that'll be great, won't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Big band music and small band music.
Big band and small band also.
Any music that has been banned is okay.
It's on the Ronald Reagan Band Music Show. Oh, my. It's going to be a wonderful time. I am concerned about who's going to win. I know that the...
Oh, really?
The left will come at me and say, hey, listen, it really doesn't matter. Because if the right wing gets in, it's just going to promote the revolution.
The revolution.
The revolution.
Wait a minute. Hold
which is basically...
This is an outmoded advertising concept. The revolution.
I should say the revolution.
A Honda was a revolution in
1975.
Pantyhose
was a revolution.
Pantyhose was a revolution. Wait a minute. This is a tired concept, Bob. We've got to come up with something better than revolution.
And the problem about supporting the Democrat is that everybody points a finger at you afterwards. It's see, he put an atomic bomb in every pot after all. See, he did this. See, he did that. It's just I don't want the head of the secret police as president of the United States. It's too embarrassing when I go abroad.
That's
you know,
true.
Go to Australia, New Zealand, go to Guinea, or one of those places. Say, you really elected the head of the secret police, and you want us to follow you?
My problem is that I feel that the moral arbiters of our lives, the Russians. Remember when we didn't like Russians?
Oh, remember when we reassessed them in 1945? I just read, here's an interesting quote. Last night I was reading about our change of heart about the Russians, and their favorability rating lost 0.75 points per month. From 1945 to 1948, their favorability went down 0.75% per month, so that every month, 0.75% of the American public decided they didn't like the Russians anymore. They loved them in 1945, mm-hmm. just before the end of the war. Mm-hmm. They were our favorite.
They went down, but now they're up, and they've replaced the Chinese.
Big, much bigger than the Chinese. They're much bigger.
Well, we used to worry about what the Chinese thought about us. We thought the Chinese are somehow cleaner and better and more
deeper,
Tai Chi and deeper kind of than we are. But now we discovered that that's a ruse, and in fact, it's the Russians we really like.
Who are deeper and finer and smarter, and in fact are going to pass us in all of those jolly reforms that are even too left-wing. I mean, even Dukakis can't mention the kind of things that Gorbachev is trying to press.
Boris, I would like to pay $95 for this pair of Levi's.
But they're only $17. No, I must pay $95.
Yes.
This is what the Russians are doing.
This is American way. We learn from capitalism. Little jeans, $75, $80. Kids go out, make money to earn that then.
Tell you what, let's split those jeans.
Like splitting the ticket.
I'm just afraid that the Russians want Bush to be president because he's somebody that they feel comfortable with.
They would.
I mean, only a Russian would feel comfortable over at Barbara and George's house for dinner.
Well, particularly all the members of the KGB. You have to be in the KGB anyway to be in the Russian government. So they know the CIA. They know they have traded each other's lists. They're on each other's A-lists.
Right.
Dukakis does not appear on the KGB A-list.
They don't know him. See, that's the problem. The Russians worry a lot about things like they just don't know this guy. They do not know any of the hit records that Dukakis knows so much about. And they have never really watched American Top 40.
Well, remember, Dukakis comes from Boston. He's one of the few people that still hangs on to. Remember the Boston Sound?
Oh, absolutely. What was the Boston Sound?
Oh, my God. It was
remember,
the
we usual. Played with one of them
we
once.
We played with one of them, yes, and I can't hardly
remember. In
fact,
one of them is about Boston Harbor and how dirty it is, or the river that's so dirty that empties into Boston Harbor, remember?
Yeah.
Oh, Boston, you're my home. Well, I imagine these phones, as they light
the
up, someone will... We'll remember what the name of that band was,
yes,
the Boston Sound.
And maybe our people out there will tell us what they think the difference will be in America, life under Bush versus life under Dukakis. I mean, that's really what we're concerned about. Will there be life after Bush and Dukakis, and what will it be like?
Oh, and the other thing is what about the Duke's mom? Now, last night I read that the Duke's mom had said that the Republicans just transfer communist or Republican there, that the Republicans had sent letters to everybody in Haverhill, Massachusetts, saying that her brothers were communists. Did you see that?
No, I didn't. And I missed that one.
Mom Dukakis got up where she was at a college in Maine and said that this was true, and it took the Duke by surprise.
So
the Duke didn't know that his uncles were communists, or the Duke didn't know that the Republicans thought his uncles were communists.
That's much more important. He knew they were communists all along. He just didn't know the Republicans thought it. Okay, right. We're on KPFK, listener-sponsored radio station here, FM 90.7 in Southern California, where they're cleaning the freeways together. My special guest, Rabbit Eyes, Bunny Eyes. It's got to keep the child alive. It's Baldy and Bunny Eyes here, scouts in Dukakis country, drinking Boston Harbor water, and we're going to go to the phones now and find out what you think life's going to be like under Bush, Dukakis, Quayle, Benston, and Oral Hershiser. We're here at 818-985-5735. 818-985-KPFK. Don't forget, the marathon's coming up in exactly 2 weeks.
I'm the MC. There's this book out. It just came out. It's called One Day in the World. And it's a photograph of all these events that went on in one day. So I looked at the inside introduction, and it's by Hal Buell.
Yeah, oh, really?
Yeah, and he's the Associated Press head honcho.
Yeah.
So he put together all this photographs of one day.
When did it come out?
It must have come out just in the last couple of months. I just bought it about a month ago. But the reason I bought it, the day he picked was April 11th, 1985.
Yeah.
And the next day was the day that he flew to Zurich, April 12th.
Oh, shit.
It's really fucking ironic. And
oh, I was looking up... Where did you get the day April 12th? Which sheet was that on?
Oh, geez, that's just in my memory. That would be...
Was that with Kenneth Bialkin from the Dave Briss?
I don't think so. It's the one where you talk... When you got the word...
Yeah.
That Buell and Kramer and the other... The Jewish guy, Sam somebody...
Yeah, Fox, yeah.
Yeah, that they were flying. When you got it from Bill... Was it Brian Boland or one of those guys...
Yeah,
when they were... That was done in April... Just before you wrote to Reagan.
That's right.
And in April 85, you gave the date as April 12th. I always remembered it in my head.
Uh-huh.
And so Buell did this book together the day before that.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, so make a note. You
maybe
might...
he picked up the money in Zurich.
Yeah, and so the book was... It was an inside joke. It was a special day for him because it was the day before he'd make his delivery.
Yeah. Oh, give me the...
The book?
Yeah.
It's called One Day in the World.
By Hal Buell?
It's by Associated Press.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a...
Where did you buy it?
In classic bookshops. Do you have that chain in...
No, mail it to me and I'll send you a check.
Oh, it's a huge book.
How big is it?
It's like 2 feet by... You know, it's a huge thing.
How much is it?
I think it was about $20 or something.
Yeah.
I'd see if you can try get it because it would cost...
Okay, I'll go to Walden Books or somewhere.
Yeah, they'll order it for you. It's Associated Press, and if you have any problem, write me, and I'll send the exact,
yeah,
the publisher's name.
Oh, because John Judge said he was, he's been working at the Justice Department looking up the John Hinckley story, you know, the trial.
Yeah.
You know, the John Hinckley trial?
Yes.
And he said a guy who was on the street there at Associated Press, asked him, when did you start working for Associated Press? He was covering the Hinckley story for NBC or one of them. He said, I started working for them November 22nd, 1950.
did he say it with a kind of irony? Holy cow. He wasn't testifying. And then John talked.
I move your picture from my wall, and I replace them, both large and small. And each new day finds me so blue. Nothing takes the place of you. I read your letters one by one, and I still love you when it's all said and done. And oh, I'm so blue, because nothing, oh, nothing takes the place of you. I write this letter, it's raining on my window pane, and I feel the need of you, because without you nothing seems the same. until you're home. Again, I love you, but I'm all alone. And oh, my darling, I'm so blue, because nothing, oh, but nothing takes the place of you.
Hi, this is Peter Buck of REM, and you're listening to CKLN 88.1 FM in Toronto.
Here we go. The Surgeon General, Dr. Coop, is supposed to give you all the poop. But when he's with PMRC, the poop he's scooping amazes me. C-SPAN showed him all dressed up in his phony Dr. God, get up. He looked in the camera and fixed his specs and gave a fascinating lecture about anal sex. Anal sex. Anal sex. Anal sex. Says it is not good for us. We just can't be promiscuous. He's just a doctor. He should know it's the work of the devil. So girls, don't blow. Don't blow. Don't blow. Don't blow Jimmy, don't blow Bobby, get yourself another hobby. If Jesus practiced medicine, I'm sure he'd do it just like him. It's Dr. Coop, a man to trust. It seems at least that Reagan must. If Ron's a trusting sort of guy, he trusts at me. I wonder why. I wonder why. Wonder why. AMA has just got caught for doing stuff they shouldn't ought. All they do is lie and lie. Where's Dr. Coop? He's standing by. Surgeon General, what's the deal? Is your epidemic real? Are we leaving something out? Something we can't talk about? A little green monkey over there kills a million people? That's not fair. Did it really go that way? Did you ask the CIA? Would they take you serious? Or have they been promiscuous? Have they been promiscuous? Have they been promiscuous? Have they been promiscuous? Young one, wake up. Prohibition is over. The country's still a mess. Painters out there, we've got some cleaning up to do. Especially when it comes to this guy. Get those sport coats on with the big lapels. They're back. They're fashionable again. Okay, let's look at some mug sheets from the suspects from the 80s. Admiral Poindexter, get back on Felix the Cat where you belong. Get the damn pipe out of your mouth. Your history, you're gone. Oliver North, no secret government for you, buddy. You're over. You're through. Bill Casey, you're dead.
I mean.
Bush, you're still a wimp. I'm sorry. You're history. Deaver, Knobziger, you're gross. Book 'em, Dano. Dano? How did he get in the show? Get out of here. Reagan, you're asleep. Wake up. The country's in a mess. You're on your way out anyway, buddy. Your history, your meat, you're through, your vapor. You're Pomone without the mayo, buddy. You're out of here. In fact, it's Robin Leach instead. I don't know why. Hey, fellas, take me to the bridge. I want it now.
Get out of here. It's all over. And the Untouchables are Ike Willis, Mike Keneally, Walt Fowler, Bruce Fowler, Paul Carman, Alvin Wing, Kurt McGedrick, John Blackerman, Ed Mann, Robert Martin, Scott Tunis, Eric Klutzman. Thanks for coming to the show, and good night.
Celebrating 5 years of community broadcasting, you're listening to CKLN 88.1 FM.
Well, good morning. This is Dave McQueen down in the dungeon yet again. I'll be with you for the next 5 hours, be off the air again at 7, as per usual. It's a sad day. I've just come in and found out that Lamont Young is no longer in the on-air booth. It's not regarded as new anymore. So I'm going to play the last side because... the end of an era. This is Lamont Young.